You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Tuesday. I almost lost what track of day it is because we did not have the Monday podcast. I have no idea what day it is. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. That is why we did not have a podcast, though. Yesterday was just, it was a crazy day because we had football, we had basketball, as far as press conferences went, you know, football press conference, basketball game, season opener. And then I didn't get back until like midnight on Sunday night, Monday morning, whatever. So I'm going to try to make it up, by again, having a post game after Nebraska. Wasn't actually going to do a podcast on Wednesday because 'tis my 41st birthday. So, but we are going to do one because we got too much stuff to talk about. Because we have the Rutgers game, we've got the Purdue-Fort Wayne basketball game, the debut there. We've got some more MSU craziness that happened today. We've got the college football playoff rankings. It's just been like a hectic last few days. So sometimes, unfortunately, I don't have a half hour to sit down in front of a camera and discuss things, which is usually why this doesn't end up working out. Plus, election day today, had to go vote. That is obviously very important, but we are here. We're doing it. So let's start off with the Rutgers game. Let's take at least a segment to discuss that, and then we'll just see which of the other millions of topics we want to discuss. And then we'll whatever we don't hit on this one, we'll hit tomorrow morning, or right soon after I get up, we'll hit the rest. So let's get into the Rutgers game. I will tell you that there was never any point, despite everything kind of going wrong in the first half, that I had any concern. My roommate texted me at one point, right around halftime, freaking out, being like, I think Michigan's going to lose. And I said, dude, you've got to calm down. Michigan's going to win by 30. And he's like, I do not see what you are seeing. But to me, it was certainly more troubling than the first half against Penn State, where, you know, Michigan had full control over Penn State despite one play on both offense and defense, right? This was a little bit different because Gavin Wimsatt came in and he's tossing the ball around, but there's also a couple other mitigating factors that took place, right? I mean, there was certainly the blocked punt return for a touchdown, Michigan kind of stalling out. It seemed like the receivers weren't working. But, I mean, still, when you look at a game like that and the box score heavily favors one team over the other, you have to feel like that the team that's dominating is probably going to continue to dominate. Now, sometimes it doesn't go that way, right? It did not go that way for Illinois against Michigan State, for instance. So it doesn't always work out that way, but generally, especially with a good team like Michigan, water is going to find its level. You know what I mean? And Michigan certainly asserted itself defensively. I mean, amazing game for Michael Barrett, of course, and just real, really dominant. Although the defense in general, 5 first downs in the entire game. Not as good as the 78-0 game when they only allowed 2 first downs, both of them super late. But still, I mean, again, the second half adjustments. I love the second half adjustments, but you would hope that Michigan can find a way to adjust a little bit faster, especially with 2 ranked teams coming up. Will Illinois still be ranked by the time that they play? We'll find out. Are they truly supposed to be ranked where they are? I don't know, right? Losing to Michigan State, unranked Michigan State without so many of its good players, that's a troubling scenario for Illinois. But Ohio State, You know, they you know, we've seen Ohio State score in bunches, but then we've also seen how Ohio State played when its passing game was essentially rendered useless. We're completely incapable of running the ball for majority of the game. If you watched any bit of that game, which I really did not, I was enjoying myself in New York City, which I'm sure anyone who looked at my Instagram or even on Twitter could tell, because posting going to Broadway plays, I'm sightseeing, I treat it like a vacation, which is what Rutgers and Maryland are good for, is the distance to some of the finest cities in the country. But it is one of those things where I paid attention, right? I'm sitting there on the subway looking at the GameCast, or I watched a little bit as much as I could until the Wi-Fi cut out on the subway. But it's Ohio State, just not that impressive when that's taken away. And of course, we're going to judge Michigan in a lot of ways, fair or not, based off of how can what they're doing beat Ohio State. And the one of the things that I'm worried about is, because I think with Ohio State, it's less about shutting them down the stretch as much as it is shutting them down early. You don't want to find yourself down to Ohio State. You want to be up. Now, if they're down by 3 on the road at halftime in Columbus, then that's probably fine. You just don't want to be down 10, 14, something like that. That's when you're asking for trouble, but the defense gives you a chance. So, I mean, who knows? Right now, you look at it and it feels good. Beating Rutgers the way they did, I know no one's going to write home about it being Rutgers. He gave up 17 points, but nothing in the second half. One of them being a special teams touchdown, so they allowed 10 offensive points. I mean, you still got to feel pretty good about that. Regardless. And I wonder what the photographer who said in the photo room when we came in at halftime, when he said, I think we found our quarterback. I wonder what he was thinking about 5 minutes later in gameplay, because it was stark. All right. We've got so much to talk about, yet we're going to try to keep this relatively short. I think that is... I mean, obviously, when it comes to the game, we're a couple days past. It just could not get to it with all the travel. And anyone who watches on YouTube saw the difficulty it took to get that. I mean, I think the YouTube video went up during the game from the mailbag, which was Friday. So anyway, this podcast has been brought to you by Nissan. Now, listen, this week's thrilling moment in college football, like I said, is brought to you by Nissan. The thrilling designs behind the new lineup from Nissan are intended to empower drivers and vehicles as capable as the driver themselves. When I think of unbelievable abilities on the field, for this week's thrilling moment, it has to be the pick six. Now, while the first touchdown, or not first touchdown, but first interception by Michael Barrett was super exciting, and it was certainly something that Michigan needed in that moment to kind of turn the tide, give them the ball back, all of that. And while certainly the long touchdown pass and catch to Donovan Edwards in the back of the end zone, which was eerily similar to what he did in Iowa, while both of those are candidates, as is Will Johnson's interception, I mean, Michael Barrett, former quarterback, turned Viper, turned linebacker, getting his second straight interception in as many throws and taking it to the house, completely turned the game on its head, put Michigan up 35-17. It was a huge moment that completely put the game away in a jiffy. And I don't know why I said jiffy, but I couldn't think of another word. So that's it. So anyway, this segment has been inspired by the thrilling new designs featured across Nissan's new lineup of vehicles. Pursue what thrills you in the all-new Frontier, Armada, or Pathfinder today. Available now at NissanUSA.com. All right, let's continue on. I think the next thing I want to talk about the Michigan State thing, because it's hilarious. And then I think the next thing we'll finish out with the Michigan basketball team, And then we'll get to all the other stuff. College football, playoff rankings. I think that we'll let that wait until tomorrow. I think that's how we're going to handle it. All right. So I want to pull this up, and I want to read it for anyone who maybe for whatever reason had no idea what was going on. So the short of it is, supposedly a Michigan State player who has been suspended has retained counsel, and he has done so by a Michigan State alum lawyer out of Los Angeles. And I was talking at the press conference to Ed Kangurski about this, and was it Ed Kangurski who had said this? I don't remember, so don't attribute a name to it. But I was talking to somebody at the press conference about it, and they were like, I can't believe it. This was a Los Angeles lawyer. And I'm like, listen, L.A., it wasn't Kangurski. I can't remember who it was, though. I'm like, L.A. is the second most populous region in the country. There's bound to be a bunch of real crap lawyers, right? And this certainly is one based off of this, quote, news alert he put out. That's what it says at the very top. I'm going to read this to you. This was tweeted out first by Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press. It was later tweeted out by Pat Forty of SI. Almost everybody made fun of it, except for a handful of MSU fans. Even most MSU fans made fun of it, it seemed. But the quote tweets are jarring for those who for those who enjoy the comedy of this situation. It's funny that a lot of they're again, it seems like most MSU fans saw this as like, please no. But there were certainly some who looked at it as their saving grace. Like this is telling the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. Again, I guess showing that I'm almost 41 by using that mere 10 hours away from being 41 at this moment. Anyway. News alerts. Michigan State Michigan Tunnel investigation reveals new facts. Okay. Newly retained counsel for MSU football player determines that Michigan players started the altercation, as well discovering, and I'm reading, by the way, this is not me fumbling, started the altercation as well discovering major security failures in Ann Arbor. Los Angeles, California, November 8th, 2022. And that was a fumble by me right there. I actually tried to correct what he said by saying an investigation, because that would be the correct way to grammatically say it. But however, he types in this press release, this news alert that goes out, a investigation yields that a Michigan football player engaged with Spartan athletes with his helmet and swinging a punch. So we're going to react as we're going to go through this instead of reading the whole thing and reacting. So first, show your work. Just show your work. There's got to be some a investigation. Whose investigation? What investigation? Was it the investigation by the police? That hasn't been revealed yet. Why do you have this information? Quote, the media has taken the bait from a coach and master victim and his howls at the moon. Very professional, it starts out. We have learned that the UM player started the altercation. Eyewitnesses have described it as charging with his helmet and throwing a punch, said attorney David D. Diamond. Now, I spoke again to one of the eyewitnesses who, by the way, has an injury from said altercation, who saw everything unfold, is in one of the videos clearly with a line of sight to everything. And they reiterated to me when I spoke to them on Monday night, the basketball game, that there was no provocation from the Michigan person, but okay, there we go. He continued, quote, the justice system is designed for impartiality. Again, double space. The repeated, quote, hail to the victims song and dance does not contribute to the fact-finding mission. Where were the screams from Ann Arbor to criminally charge Coach Howard with assault or Devon Bush with felony vandalism? Okay, so first of all the Juwan Howard situation, he wouldn't be charged in Ann Arbor. He would have been charged in Madison, Wisconsin. They clearly chose not to. And the felony vandalism, scraping a field, a grass field with your cleats before a football game that is going to be scuffed up anyway, is felony vandalism? Methinks this lawyer doesn't know the law very well, because it certainly is not felony vandalism. It was not law breaking at all. Nope, is really it. The silence was palpitating. It wasn't palpable. It was palpitating. The hypocrisy is painful. While we acknowledge wrongdoing by all parties, this is not an incident that warrants criminal charges being filed. We have seen similar behavior, and even worse, on the gridiron. And suddenly, because it happens in a tunnel known for incompetent security and poor post-game management. I don't recall there ever being a post-game incident in the tunnel before this, by the way. FYI. Halftime, shenanigans, jawing, back and forth, yes. Poor post-game management, There are calls for criminal charges. Well, I think maybe it's, guy swinging a helmet at somebody. You know, that assault with a deadly weapon. My client is a young man who responded to the situation before him. Okay, we don't know which player it is, but that's the end of the quote. His press release continues into third person suddenly. The attorney continued to acknowledge that a relative of a Michigan player jumped over and through security to approach and confront a MSU player, Carr. By the way, never actually gives the first name to Malik Carr, just says Carr. And yet there have been no eyewitnesses for this. Yes, Malik Carr's mother is saying that this happened, but there's been no one else to corroborate this at this juncture. Diamond continued, quote, and lower capitalized, we're just jumping right in here. Why were the UM players allowed in the tunnel? And rather than criticize an MSU employee for not engaging with 6'6" giants, I don't think that Jaden McBurrows nor Jamon Green are 6'6", nor does that constitute a giant. We must ask ourselves about the Michigan security in the tunnel. I personally know about the moral superiority claims, as I was a student at MSU in 1995. There it is. We've gotten down to the basis of what this whole thing is here. All right. But get this. When my then-girlfriend had a large clump of phlegm and saliva tossed at her by a UM basketball player, despite calls and letters, UM did absolutely nothing. Before we even move on, how on earth is that pertinent whatsoever to any of the same thing with the Juwan Howard and Devin Bush thing? You can't sit there and be like, they started it back with other incidences, one of which has nothing to do with MSU, another which has, like, it's, and now you're bringing up your old ex-girlfriend randomly having a cup of phlegm thrown at her, allegedly. Despite calls and letters, UM did absolutely nothing. Given the history of this rivalry and the recent disregarded motto of winning with class, this case does not warrant a criminal filing. No space in between. So criminal filing dot speaking with the detective investigating this case, I am comforted by his impartiality. David D. Diamond, attorney at law. He has since locked his Twitter account. That's just embarrassing. That is just embarrassing. And anyone who read this and is like, yes, get him, it really is disattached from reality. That is objectively one of the most hilarious things I have ever read. And it's a lot of wish casting. If that was on RCMB, if like he that's where he should have posted. He should not have sent it to Chris Solari. Should have posted on RCMB. But credit and kudos to the eagle-eyed people who found that he had already been tweeting at Chris Solari, soliciting to get MSU players as clients, saying he'd represent them for free. That is not something a lawyer can do. He was doing that on Halloween after all of this went down. That is not something that a lawyer can do. So, good luck. Don't believe any of the things that you said, although the coup de grace was your riveting, very related story about the Cup of Phlegm in 1995. I think that really had a really good place here in the story. Really added some color, some depth, really enjoyed it. Want more information, would love more to the story. Think it went really well. All right, so that's going to do that. That took a lot longer than I thought, but it was totally worth it. So we'll spend a couple minutes on the Michigan basketball game, discuss the aftermath of that. Certainly wasn't as dramatic as that. Now, I do want you to know that, and again, one of the sponsors of this show is BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there, from football to basketball to soccer and esports. We've got it all at BetOnline.net. And if you love sports podcasts, which if you're listening to this, I'm sure you do, I would imagine, you can find those on BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting fix. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, let's talk a little Michigan basketball to finish us out. Just a couple minutes here, and then we're going to skedaddle. And we'll come back on Wednesday morning before I head off and do my own festivities here. But it was a good showing for the most part by the Wolverines. A couple issues, of course. Rebounding being a major one. Just some defensive lapses, but they were minor issues, really. This does seem like a team that can score in bunches. It seems like the offensive issues that were kind of plagued this team last year, I can't imagine that that's going to be much of an issue this year, because they're just so deep with guys. And we still didn't even see like Doug McDaniel. If memory serves, I did not watch any of the exhibition. So here's what happened. I'm going to share some inside baseball here. We're all in Manhattan, right? Like, I got there on Thursday afternoon. I went and walked the city. Then I went and saw Hamilton. The next day I went to B&H Photo, walked the city, go to the High Line, all that stuff. And then Clayton, and I talked to Clayton Safey, Anthony Broom, Chris Ballas. We were all going to hang out and do some stuff. Alejandro Zuniga ended up coming out too. We walked around, couldn't decide what we wanted to do. I was pushing for another Broadway show because that's kind of my jam. And we ended up going out to eat, and then ended up hanging out in my hotel room for a little while while we waited for Anthony to arrive, so that we could go out and do the bar type thing. And they're watching on Clayton's phone the exhibition game. So I'm not 100% sure about this, but I feel like Doug McDaniel had a really good game in the exhibition. Didn't really see a heck of a lot from him, except for like a one really cool, steady, smart play. Didn't really see a lot from Jalen Llewellyn. Now, Juwan Howard said after the game, those are both pass first style point guards. But what we did see a lot from, who we did see a lot from, was Jet Howard. I mean, good Lord. That dude is a stud. You could just, like, at first it felt like kind of old school. Last couple years, you know, you've got these shooters that can't seem to hit shots, right? Felt like Caleb Houston for a little while, because he's going up there and he's taking threes and nothing's dropping. And it's like, you know, not working out. Then the second half happens, and suddenly, just as the lead has gone from 24 to 12. He scores 8 points on his own and also makes some defensive plays on the other end. Gets a block. He hits a couple threes, hits a two, just takes the game over. Absolute stud. And it was wonderful to see him and Jace on the court at the same time. Thought that was really cool. Joey Baker. We didn't see him for necessarily that long, but he came in and just drained three threes like it was nothing. Really incredible play by him. Hunter Dickinson, as expected. Kobe Bufkin made a little bit of an impact. Terrace Reed defensively looked really cool. Only got 1 point offensively. But this Michigan basketball team, I mean, we'll see. It does, you know, Juwan Howard said after the game, it's a work in progress. That was game one. He's not concerned about any of the things that didn't go well. Obviously, Amani Bates coming up on Friday at Eastern Michigan at Little Caesars Arena. That's a completely different deal. But I feel like if this group can get through the growing pains early here and manage to still win games, this could be a dangerous, dangerous basketball team by the season's end. Very dangerous, but you know, it's early. We'll see. It's a fun game. Good to have the basketball team back. I enjoyed myself. I don't always say that about basketball at this time of the year. It's hard to cover basketball and football at the same time, I feel. But it's certainly, like I said, I was entertained. That's all you can ask for. All right, that's going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow is the plan. I will do this before I go and do anything else. That's the goal. So might be skipping football press conference, but I will not skip the podcast tomorrow. So we'll talk to you then. Thank you for watching and or listening. Peace.